obviously then through the early noughties, as they were called it back then, you took the opportunity to represent, take international honours with the Republic of Ireland's team. How did that come about, and how much fun was that going to those World Championships?
As I say, when the meeting with Bob Zeller took place, and I sort of just wrapped it up, again, I was married at the time, and I was working at a reasonably good job, and I was teaching people how to skate at the Ice Bowl as well, and I just sort of fell out of love with the game. And then I got a call. I knew that there's a few of the boys that were playing for Team Ireland at the time, and even though they didn't have an ice rink down south, I mean, a lot of the boys, 99% of them were from East Belfast / North Down area, and they all kept on saying to me, you know, when you should come and you should play, and I go, nah, boys, I'm no really interest. And then I got a call. At that stage, it was Jim Graves coaching them, and he never made a call to me, so I just didn't bother. And then they got rid of Jim Graves, and they brought a guy called Jim Tibbetts in. And literally with him coming in a couple of days, I got a phone call from him, and he said, look, he says, I'm going to be coaching the team, and I've heard so much about you, and I'd really like to come. And this is 2006, and I hadn't played. I mean, again, I'd skated, but I'd hardly played. I'd maybe go out and have a bit of crack with a couple of boys every once in a while, but I hadn't played in 4, maybe 5 years. And I said, right, okay. And even at this stage, we didn't have any Scottish League teams that had ceased working, because the relationship with the Scottish FA and the Northern Ireland, sorry, not FA, sorry, the Scottish Ice Hockey Association and the Northern Ireland Ice Hockey Association had sort of fallen apart as well. So there wasn't even any games to play. So Jim Tibbetts says, he said, look, I'd really like you to come and play. We're playing in Iceland this year, and I think we've got a chance, and you know, I'd like you to come and make an attempt and bring your experience. And I went, like, okay, leave with me for a while. And so that's what he did. He left it with me for a couple of days. We get the call. We get a couple of training sessions at the SSA Arena, or Odyssey Arena. And I ended up playing a couple of friendly games against some guys who put together from Belfast, and then a couple of teams from Scotland as well. And I said, okay, let's go and do it. So we ended up going to Iceland 2006, April 2006, and playing against Iceland, Turkey, Mexico, a couple of others. I remember Luxembourg was one of them. Yeah, we did okay. We didn't do too bad. Armenia, we beat Armenia the year before. I wasn't playing. I beat Armenia the year before. I think it was 19-0. And then they arrived in with 8 or 9 guys with Armenian passports who all lived in California and Canada. And they could play. I mean, they really could play. So they beat us the first game. We ended up with Turkey the next game. We drew 2 each of them. Got a goal in that game. The game against Armenia was one that will stick out for a long, long time. It was the first game back on the ice in Iceland. And again, the rink was lovely, really, really nice. Like, it was an old aircraft hangar. I hit everything that moved. And I mean everything that moved. My shoulders were in absolute bits that game. Hugh Smith was our backup goalie. He was playing with the Giants at the time. Hugh Smith's our backup goalie. And every time I come off the ice, he's getting going, oh, you've got to hit number 12, or you've got to hit number 14 now. You haven't hit him yet. I said, right, okay. But I hit everything. And I mean, every player that they played against me on that team for Armenia, I even hit the goalie at one stage. And I hit everything that moved. And they ended up beating us. I got man of the match. I still got the pen. Didn't give us a watch back in those days, did we? But I've got the pen still in the house. And yeah, it was... but it sort of rekindled a bit of love for the game again, but it was, let's just say, when you're playing the World Championships, even though it's at Division 3 level, playing 5 games in 7 days is tough going, especially when that game against Armenia was the first one and it was so physical.
Then you obviously came back a year later to do it all again with Team Ireland. And as you say, not playing really any hockey in between times. How tough was it? And was it a tougher call the second year to do it?
Extremely. We had the ice rink at Dundalk, which had just opened, and after I left Iceland in 2006 with a busted AC joint and a very sore rotary cuff at both shoulders. So I sort of left Iceland. I remember I had to get one of the boys to give me a hand with my baggage to get onto the plane and then get it back to the car when we're driving back up to Belfast, because I was in absolute bits. But I just said to myself, right, that's it. That's me done. And then Tibbetts come back to me and said, look, we've been given the World Championships in Dundalk next year. Will you play again? I know you said you're wrapping it up, but will you play again? And I said, well, it's going to be in Dundalk. I have to. We ended up getting a bit of ice time down there. They had a couple of teams that were set up very, very quickly. They had a bunch of Latvian guys that put a team together, Dundalk Bulls. They ended up doing a bit of coaching for over the next couple of years. And, the Wolves are set up with Aaron Murphy. He was a pain in the ass back then. Always chirping. I wonder where he always just, gets to do all this talking from on Free Sports and Premier Sports. But Murph was, we didn't really see eye to eye back then. We had a couple of battle challenges against each other, a couple of battles. But he was a decent player. He was all right. It was tough. Tough to get going because, again, you're traveling 60 miles every day. To 3 days a week there and 60 miles back. And you probably don't think that's an awful lot if you're North America or Canada, but 60 miles to go and skate for 2 hours and then coming back after that is tough, tough going. But we ended up putting that team together. Again, the nucleus were all from Belfast and with a sprinkle and a couple of American fellas and that ended up with Irish passports. We certainly put a really good effort in. Just came up a wee bit short. We ended up getting the silver medal. New Zealand won the gold medal that year. But it was definitely another week of hockey that will forever live with me. So
you talk about New Zealand getting the gold medal there, and obviously one of the highlights of that tournament and perhaps your hockey career was seeing the strange side, I guess, of a team performing the haka on the ice against you.
Yeah, and you know what? We were very disrespectful to them, didn't we? Jim Tibbetts, my apologies, he didn't agree with it. They came and asked you to do the haka on the ice, and Jim Tibbetts asked us to turn our back on it. And it was something that looking back on, we shouldn't have done. Give them a bit of fire in their belly, and again we had a really good game against them, a really, really good game against them. But even looking at that, I'm still looking over my shoulder at this thing and this, display of patriotism. That's what it is, and we showed a lack of respect. But again, that was coming from the coach, in my opinion, and something that we shouldn't have done. But looking back on the tournament itself, and again, funny enough, I don't know what you've been doing when you've been sort of cocooned in your house for the last week or two, but I found the DVD of the game against South Africa from those World Championships, and I'm going to go on. I'm going to stick it on the PS4 here at some stage in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully it still works. But I remember that game pretty well, and we ended up beating them 3-2 and going on to, as I say, a penalty shootout against Luxembourg when your wee mate Mo Morrison got a goal.
Let's talk very briefly. That was going to be my next question. This is the Simon Kitchen show, and we'll not take it too far away from Kitchy, but you saw the Morrison brothers all come up, Willie, Davey and Mark obviously went on to have the most high-profile career, if you want to call it that, went on to really good things. Hundreds of games for the Belfast Giants, lots of goals. Alternate captain for the team 1 year, he went on to really good things. He led Team Ireland in those World Championships in Dundalk and scored, 9 points in 4 games. He performed really well when he played for Team Ireland, but he also went on to be a really great Belfast Giant.
What a player. But the best thing about it is, what a kid. He's a real, real good lad. Always was. You talk about his brother, Davey. Davey was a good player as well. And Willie, Probably out of the three Morrison brothers, Willie was probably the most skillful. The smallest, I mean, they're not all the biggest guys in the world, you know, but you'll never find a bigger heart than Mark Morrison. And you could see the devil. And also, we also had Garth Martin that year as well. He played for the Giants the year before. You know, Marty was there, but Mo was excellent. Jim Tippett threw him out there at every opportunity. You know, he was playing power play, he was playing penalty kill, he was 5-on-5. He got for a shootout, and he led by example. Even though he was probably, he wasn't the, I can't remember what age he was, probably 23, 24 at that stage. But he led by example. And one of those things, I played with him in the Scottish leagues as well a couple of times with Dundonald, he definitely stepped up that whole tournament and played a number of really good games. And again, he was one of those ones where, you know, our teams knew that they had to stop him. He was a professional player, and they had to come out and they had to, you know, to put the skids on him. And that's sort of where I come into it. Like, I mean, there's a number of occasions that tournament there were one of the guys in South Africa tried to hit him, and he got him up against the wall. And let's just say that he only did it once. But you can't, at that level, you can't be fighting. They give you a 3-hour game for fighting, so you sort of just have to grab him, hit him a dig in the back, and take a 2-minute penalty for it every once in a while. But, or, you know, next period, you step up and you absolutely cream him, which is what I did. So, but yeah, thoroughly enjoyed playing with Mark. And Davey and Willie as well. Again, we'd some really, really good players back then, Davey. I mean, all local Dundonald lads, and they all just loved to play. And even though it was playing for the Republic of Ireland and their colours, you know, there was times where, again, we all... The one thing about that, again, that sort of left a bad taste in our mouth. You know the way they play the Irish mm-hmm. rugby song? That's what they agreed for us to play, because the majority of our team were all from East Belfast. We were representing Ireland, which is fine. There's no problem with that at all. We couldn't play with anybody else and weren't good enough to play with Team GB at that stage. The emergence of some were really top players over there. But they agreed to play the song with the national anthem, which is the rugby national anthem, and they ended up playing the Irish national anthem, which a few of the boys really didn't agree with, and I was one of them. You know, we're there representing everybody of the whole Ireland, Northern Ireland and Ireland, and the fan base that came down were absolutely brilliant. Again, 90% of them are all Belfast Giants fans, all coming across the border at that stage. Again, they're still early noughties or mid-noughties, but you know, a few things that would have went, it could have continued on. It could still be playing ice hockey at the World Championship level for Ireland. But again, bad management of the ice rink in Dundalk led to that place closing down, and then with no ice facilities in Ireland, and the IIHF stepping up and saying, you have no ice facilities, you have no league, you can't play anymore. And that was, again, that was a bit of a gut-wrenching moment for ice hockey on this island.
That was kind of all she wrote for you in terms of a playing career then. That really brought the curtain down, and I guess everything comes to an end at one time. That's hard enough to kind of walk away from the game at that stage.
No, I was sore. The way I played, Davey, you'd see me on numerous occasions. I played hard. Like, I mean, you talk about these guys these days and you know, open ice hits. I used to love them. I used to try and line guys up, and you know, that was one of my strengths, actually. I just wanted to hit somebody as hard as I possibly could. And you know, people say, well, you're not going out to hurt somebody. I disagree. I was going out to hurt people. I wanted to put them completely off their game. I wanted to make sure that they step across that blue line again, and you're wearing a different colored shirt than me, you're getting hit, and I do not want you doing it again. If you come over again, I'm going to hit you harder. And I always played that way, and I thought I did all right at it. You know, I thought there was moments that I only remember ever pulling out of one hit, ever. And again, I remember as clear as day. We're playing against the Fife Flyers in Dundonald in the league, the season played, the one season we played in the Pro League and the Professional League with BNL. And there was a guy called Frank Morris, you probably heard him. Frank had his head down and he was coming right across the train tracks on the blue line. And ideally, if I had hit him, he wouldn't have woke up. If he had his head down, he had the puck, I had every right to hit him. I had every right to absolutely nail him. The game was over. They were beating us, I think it was something like 9 or 10-0 at this stage. And then some top players that you know, Kirkcaldy was a breeding ground for local talent and they had some great players playing for them at that stage. They had Mark Morrison, not our Mark, but Mark Morrison, who played for the New York Rangers. He was their coach. That a number of other really, really top players. And it's one of those moments that I knew if I hit him, I could have ended his career. He had his head down. I wasn't that far away from him. And I remember Jim Graves shouting, I mean, why didn't you hit him? And I'm going, if I hit him, he's dead. I was that close to absolutely nailing him. And I pulled out of the head. And I just skated past him. It was like two planes crossing the night where both of us were flying. I mean, both of us were really moving. And I really could have hurt him. And yeah. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I resisted. I'm glad I've held up at that moment. I've hit guys when they've come in, their heads down. And I've hit guys from behind, under the wall. I've cross-checked people. I've done things that I'm not proud of. But if anything, I was definitely proud of that moment. I really, really could have hurt him at that stage. And I remember when Frank was back, you know, when he started playing with Fife Flyers, and he was a really, really tough player. Like, I mean, Frank Morris was tough, and he could drop the gloves, he could score, he could do everything for the Flyers. But that's one of those moments where I just thought, you know what, I can't do that. And that was a split-second decision. You talk about, you know, I've said it before, you can't pull out of a hit. But that was the only one I remember ever pulling out off and going, I did the right finger.
I put on, you know, at the minute, Andre Payette's obviously having his problems, and I put on a message the other day about, you know, people's memories of Payette. Fought against the Belfast Giants more than any other player in history. You know, he leads fighting majors against us, and very similar story, funny enough, involving Mark Morrison, where he was skating through centre ice with his head down. And I think it was another blowout game where we were winning comfortably enough, and Payette could have done the exact, could have let him up, could have really, really hurt him, and let him go. And at the next whistle, went over and tapped him on the shin pads. And you could clearly see him saying, you know, putting his glove on his chin and saying, keep your head up, because the next time, you know, you're not getting a free pass. And sometimes the guys that are the most physical, and the wild thing, obviously, Payette, are the guys who have the most respect for the game. And I guess in that instance, you know, you were respecting an opponent and the game at the same time. So, but look, we go on then, you've walked away from a playing career. And a great playing career it was at the level you played at, and the Belfast Giants are obviously going strong. When did you get back involved with, and how was it, a volunteering thing with the Belfast Giants?
Todd Kelman, Todd and Johnny, Rob Stewart, Jason Bowen, you know, they all used to come up and train when they came back into Belfast for the next season and what have you. And Paxton and everybody as well, and we were practicing at the time. This stage, we were getting ready for for the first World Championships, and I used to get a bit of extra ice time with the teams that were there, and you know, I remember hitting Todd Kellen one night. Keller was coming across, and he had his head down, but that's one of the ones where he wasn't going to meet his head down, but he was still going to get hit. It's Todd Kellen after all, you know, he was coming to the end of his playing career. You know, a couple of years later, he's still, you know, top player for the Giants. But I remember nailing him one night in training. He'll tell you about it sometime. I remember him saying, he says, "But it's not supposed to be any contact." He says, "You're a professional player. Keep your head up and stop gurning." But you know, you talk about moments where getting back into the Giants and stuff like that. I just started to work for Phonacap at this stage. And John Elliott was the general manager, and he was trying to get, you know, the Giants, the Phonacab that started sponsoring, and they were trying to get more and more into it. And which is what the case was. And Todd, when he became general manager, he wanted to get more involved, and he sort of did what Todd does and befriended me even more and tried to get me to come to more games. And because at that stage I wasn't going to many games. Jasmine was born, and I was spending and having more fun and spending time with her, and wasn't really that interested in it. But then the opportunity again, they asked me to come and to do Giants TV with the wonderful Wayne, and then asked me to help out and do a bit of commentating. And this is back in 2008, 2009. And I says, yeah, why not? And I had a bit of fun doing that. And then a couple of years later, we got more involved. And again, it's all sort of stemmed through the relationship with Phonacab and doing more and more for the club. And now, obviously, with get the opportunity with, it's great to be part of the number one podcast in the Elite League. And obviously, Belfast Giants TV, which, goes from strength to strength as well. And that's led by Dave Laurie and Neil Whiteside. So, I know I'm not to everyone's taste. Don't really care. Giants fans seem to enjoy it. I enjoy it. Even some of the players enjoy it as well, because, I've had a couple of people say to me, oh, you need to commentate in that game, or I love you calling that goal. One of my favourite moments was doing about commentating with you, Davey, last year against Ireland, which one of those things that, again, it popped up on the screen the other day when Dustin Johnner was coming on and having a conversation and letting people know that he's thinking about them, about the coronavirus and what have you. And I'll never forget that call. I mean, what a game that was to call. The one thing I do regret is we should have had a GoPro up that day, because nobody will see our reaction. The two of us were going nuts, I genuinely would have liked to see that on camera, because that would have been absolutely hilarious.
We've been very fortunate. Yeah, I've got a tear in my eye here, says. We've been very fortunate over the last, 10 years or so. I've been doing the podcast, but the number of years they've been doing it with you, and that we get the club trust us enough to let us be involved in the likes of Giants TV. For you who played the game, I've just been, football's been my whole life, and hockey's a passionate pastime, if you like. But for you who have lived and breathed hockey since 1986, effectively, what is that now? 86, 96, 2006, 35 years, Simon. Calm down, David. From you've been a young boy, right through working in the ice bowl, playing hockey, playing internationally, playing for the Giants, doing the podcast, still very, very involved. Just talk people through a really quick match day, because you just don't turn up at the game at 6:30 like your co-commentators can and throw your headphones on and go. There's a lot of preparation goes into this right through the whole week.
There is a, I go to training try to go at least twice a week just to see how the boys are and catch up, and if there's anybody hurt. And then I'll talk if we were playing Friday, Saturday, I'd usually talk to Adam after practice on a Thursday. You are playing a big part in that as well, because you do all our stats and you give me all the stats, usually on a Wednesday or a Thursday as well. The conversation takes place with Adam. He sends me through the lineup for the night after, which is the first night of the Friday night. I get all the details from him, who's playing and what the lines are, and would have a conversation about things that were, who were playing against and what have you as well. But then I'd sit and do my stats, which usually takes me 2 hours, 2.5 hours, to try and pick me nitpicks up about the opposition and try and look through everybody's elite prospects or hockey database to see if they played with any of our players. And if there's, because the hockey fraternity is really, really small, and you'd be surprised who plays with who, or who grew up with who in the junior team, and or whose dad played against him at that stage as well. So yeah, all those things that come into it. But yeah, it you're talking probably 2-2.5 hours of the night before the game, and then I'll arrive at the rink at about 10 to 5, just to get, we'll do a production meeting with Neil and the cameraman and producer and what have you, probably about 5:15, and then just get ready for the build-up to the game itself. And I know that I'm not to everyone's taste, and as I say, I really couldn't care less, but there is a lot goes into it. And if I can do something right, you know, my part is just talking, but all the hard work's done behind the scenes with the producing of everything. And then you see the highlight package that we need Whiteside, and, you know, he puts together as well after every game, and everything's ready to go, you know, potentially 8 o'clock the next morning as well. So it's tougher when it comes to two games in two nights, or you get the likes of the Friendship Four, and it's four games in 2 days, and the Continental Cup when it's six games in 3 days. That's a tough ask, especially with players from Belarus and Kazakhstan and Poland, and you're murdering people's names. And again, I apologize in advance every single show that, you know, if I'm not saying this right, you know, let me know. But, you know, I'm doing my best. But yeah, it's just been some fantastic memories through Giants TV. There's been some moments that, you know, were completely deflating. Much of this season, but the inconsistency. But, you know, you look at last year, and you know, when we won the league with not being on the ice, that's one thing I would really like to do. I would like to be the commentator for winning the league or a trophy in our own building. And if you think I've been annoying so far, then pay attention, because it will happen.
I have to be honest, Simon. I've been fortunate enough. I did that with Neil, the coach Russell, before you were doing Giants TV. I tell a lie. I'm an absolute liar. I did the night we got the trophy. I can't remember who Neil was doing it with at that time, or why you weren't doing it. I don't know, but here, let's start drawing this to close, because this half-hour chat has almost gone on an hour and 20 minutes so far. I'm not asking you to be quickfire here, but the favourite player you played with in your own career?
Oh, right, okay. Vasily.
So much fun because he was so good, or just so much crack off the ice as well, or just was the full package?
Everything. Absolutely everything. Even he's got me on Facebook now, and he sends me messages in Ukraine, and I haven't got a clue what he's talking about.
From the Belfast Giants then, you know, you must have a lot of players that you've watched over the years and thought, wow, you know, my own Jason Ruff from Northern Ireland, you know, Mark Morrison, you've Sheds coming up with 1,000 career games, millions of points. But from your own point of view, you know, who was your favourite Giant?
Well, again, I never got to commentate on Ruffles. He was my favourite Giant all time. And to be honest, in one season, Bobby Farnham has been right up there. But longevity-wise, and I'm not pumping Kiefer's tires because he's the coach now, and you know, he's obviously gave us 10 years of his life nearly, but it's definitely Adam Keefe now. I mean, you look at what he's done for our club and our city over the last number of years, and even, you know, he sends me a text the other day to say, hey, we're getting on, and, you know, locked up at home. And I know he's getting it difficult as well. You know, Adam's Colleen, his wife, you know, she's busy doing stuff, and he sort of isolated himself, but he's happy enough because he's sitting with the dogs in the garden and painting the fences, and obviously doing exit and meetings, and you know, looking forward to next season as well, all into the equation. But Kiefer's definitely, you know, he would be my favorite, closely followed by Jim Vandermeer. I've said on numerous occasions, Vandermeer is a Rolls Royce, was a Rolls Royce, still is a Rolls Royce. Jimbo was unbelievable. For anybody, and again, there's people out there that didn't appreciate him, just didn't get what he offers. And there's wee simple things that, I mean, if you look back at the highlights of that, there's one of those games. I think it's against Gomel that the Giants TV had put on a few weeks, or sorry, last week, to try and entertain people during the this difficult stage of isolation. But there's just a moment in that, and probably nobody else picks up on it. But Jimbo, I think it's Curtis Leonard on the far side. Jimbo's playing left D, and you can just see him looking at the glass. You can see him looking in the plexiglass for exactly whereabouts Curtis Leonard is. And he makes a backhand pass. Nobody else on the ice reads it. Nobody. And luckily, Curtis Leonard is exactly where he is, because he gets it right under the tape. But Jim Vandermeer for me is just top class.
If we look back, we'll finish with your career. So we'll look back at Belfast Giants. Your favourite Giants moment through the years.
It's got to be that Ireland game, even though we didn't win. I mean, getting the opportunity to commentate on that in our building with that crowd, and the goal from Dustin Johnner and Chris Higgins, and Jim hitting the post, and you know, penalty shootout with Paddy Dwyer hitting the post. That was just an absolutely incredible game. It's probably in recent memory. You know, with being involved and commentating and you know, over the last couple of months we've tried to trial earpieces for people who've came to the game who are blind, and I've sort of tried to. I mean, you're the same as me, David. You talk very quickly when you're on the commentating, and I've tried to be wary of that, to try and slow down, because when you're sort of over this last couple of months, I say Dave Lowry's got these headsets, and they're watching it, they're hearing me live in their ears, but they can't see what's happening, so I'm sort of reading the story for them, and I feel that it's a bit of a privilege doing that as well, and something that if you asked me a few months ago, you know, you've got blind people coming to the game and you're going, why? You know, why do they want to come to a nice hockey match when they can't see it? But I get it now, and three things like that, that the Giants do, it's not just about what happens on the ice. You know, there's so many good things about the Belfast Giants, and it starts with the fans / volunteers especially. I mean, I've met some great people through the Giants, and I've met some arseholes as well, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, you talk about from a player's point of view, and yes, we all know, you know, all the players come in to play that season. It's a great bunch of guys, and you know, we spend so much time with each other. I've already said it before. Do you go to work and do you like everybody that you work with? I don't. There's people in my work I can't stand the sight of. But I go in, I'm professional, I do what I've got to do, and I go home. And that's exactly the same as ice hockey. You spend, you know, you think how much time these guys spend together, especially when they're on the road. You're not going to like everybody all the time. You know, and hockey has got I'm trying to think of the best word for it, David. It's one of those sports where, you know, a wee bit like football. You know, you're in a team environment. You're spending so much time with guys that you sort of become dependable on. You sort of become, you know, it's like the only thing they all have in common is hockey. But in that environment, they become reliant on each other, and that's the bit for me that is absolutely huge in hockey. I mean, I played with guys that I didn't like, but I would be the first person that if they took a bad hit, or if they were they're getting a bit of a scrum in front, and I'd be the first one to back them up. Absolutely, 100%. And I'm very lucky where I've created friendships from this sport, even against guys that I hated to play against. I mean, you've got Big Scott Bruce, played with Fife Flyers and Murrayfield Racers, Paisley Pirates. I hated the sight of him. Hated him. Couldn't stand him. He was a prick on the ice. You didn't know if he was going to cross-check you in the face, or you turn your back in the corner, he's coming in behind you to take you out by the roots. Didn't have a clue. I hated playing against him. And now, he's probably one of my closest friends. Don't get to talk to him all the time. But off the ice, you'll not meet a nicer guy. He is top notch. His young son Tyler's playing for Swindon now. He played a couple of seasons at Edinburgh. I think Tyler's about 22, 23 now. And again, it's all started from Scott and the love of ice hockey and being brought up in Kirkcaldy. And Plusey was a nightmare to play against. Absolute nightmare. But again, it's one of those things where, you know, you just don't know – who down the line, who you're going to play with, who you're going to play against. It's the greatest sport in the world.
Let's talk about your own personal highlight from your career, your playing days. You know, we've talked about the Giants, we've talked about favourite players. One thing that stands out through your own playing career.
Hanging the skates.
Ah, come on.
Yeah. Davey, I honest to God, mate, I went from, I mean, I still take 8 tablets every day to start my body working. My knees are bollocks, my shoulders are bollocks. My ankles aren't great. Now, I know it doesn't help with a few extra pounds, but all these wee things, I was happy to basically put the skates up. Now, one thing that I've been lucky enough to be involved in is a couple of testimonies the last couple of years, Mark Garside and Stephen Murphy, and I've absolutely loved it. Being asked by both those guys what to be involved in, and I'll be again, you know, you've been alongside me when we're doing the, you know, inviting these guys onto the ice and forgetting about 7 or 8 of them when Garside's testimonial was there. But it was your fault. It was your side of the bench, by the way. But, you know, yeah, hanging the skates up is the memory that I've got that I look back on and go, do you know what? It's the right time, because I was absolutely bollocksed. I was so sore. I was, you know, I didn't wear shoulder pads for much of the later parts of my career, because I got to notice that when I hit somebody in the chin with my shoulder, or I hit somebody in the chest with my shoulder, I should say, not chin. If I hit somebody in the chest with my shoulder, they feel it a bit more. That's part of my own doing. But yeah, it's definitely one of those there that I knew it was the right time to hang the skates up. But if you're looking for a game, again, probably takes me the whole way back to the Paisley game. You know, that was just, it was a brilliant, really, it was a really good game as well. But we didn't just, you know, we didn't just scrape that win. We absolutely hammered them. I think it was 7-4 or 8-4. And we had some really big performances that night. Goaltending was great. Our Brian Servetnik was outstanding. You know, Zenting Fu was there. Fu, Chinaman, coming into Belfast. I didn't even tell you about the Chinaman story. We were sitting in the locker room one Tuesday night. I used to sit with a guy called Stu McMaster. Stu's one of the funniest guys on the planet. Henry Branigan brings in this guy. We're being told there's a new import coming in. So we're all thinking, oh, brilliant, new Canadian, you know, American. We're going to, you know, see what happens. Door opens Tuesday night and walks this Chinaman. Everybody's sort of just stunned silence. They're going, waiting for Jeremy Beadle to jump out or something. And he didn't speak a word of English. Not a word. And he walks into the dressing room, sits down beside me and Stu. Gear and all was brought in for him. And he dresses. He gets on the ice. And, you know, we'll start to do the drills. He could skate, but nothing else. He passed him the puck. It was bouncing off his stick. You're sitting going, is somebody having a serious laugh here? Like, what's happening here? What's happening? That was a Tuesday night. We didn't practice again until a Thursday. But I was working at the ice bowl at the time. And I was there on the Wednesday working, and then the wee Chinaman came in. We found out his name was Zenting Fu. Fu, as he was commonly known. So Fu comes up on the Wednesday, starts skating. Skated all day. All day. He was there for the morning session, afternoon, and the evening session. Thursday, same thing. Came for morning, skated in the afternoon, and went home, and then came back up to skate on the Thursday night with the gear on. At this stage, his own gear had arrived because it got lost in transit. We then found out that Fu was, he played for the Chinese national team. Again, did not speak a word of English. And he came out on the Thursday night on the practice, and nobody could get the puck off him. Nobody. Couldn't get near him. Everybody skipped about trying to go, right, I'm going to nail him. Couldn't get anywhere near him. Played on the Saturday. Ended up playing defense with big Jamie Branigan, and we had to go to Glenrothes. So we traveled to Glenrothes, and you could just see everybody. Now, I was lucky enough where I played for Scotland under 18s and under 19s at that stage. And there was a couple of guys in the Glenrothes team, Robert Jack, and then Matt Ferguson was there. Matt Ferguson used to play for TSI Tigers, and Matt was down, but he wasn't playing. And he said, who's the guy? Who's he? And I go, mate, what do you see him? He's unbelievable. He told him the story Tuesday night to Thursday, complete different player. And Fu played defence that night with big Jamie Brannigan. And one of the Glenrothes guys hit him hard, and I had just changed up with Jamie. Ended up dropping the gloves, giving the guy the proper beating, get the 5-minute penalty, going to the penalty box. He came out, didn't learn his lesson. He hit Fu again, ended up knocking his bollocks in again. And then Fu went on to get man of the match, 3 goals, 2 assists, and everybody just wanted to hit him. But what a player. I mean, Fu was unbelievable. He went on to play a couple of seasons with us, ended up marrying a Northern Irish, well, ended up marrying a Chinese girl, having his wedding at the Red Panda at the Odyssey. Best wedding do I've ever been to in my life. And now he's still living in Belfast. He's doing tours for the Asian people that come from all over Asia, Taiwan, Indonesia. You've got him coming from China, Japan, obviously, and he speaks about 10 different languages, including Northern Irish, with a proper Northern Irish accent now. And I seen him about 3 months ago. Again, don't see him all the time, but I seen him about 3 months ago on the Craigie Road. And I just hear this. Simon, big Northern Irish accent. I, Simon, turn around, and there's Fu running towards me. I'm standing with Jasmine. Jasmine's going, who is this guy? And he just runs towards me and gives me a big hug. And we're standing in the middle. We can't get, obviously, we're talking about social distancing now, but this is before coronavirus came anywhere near Northern Ireland. Fu's running towards me, and he wouldn't let go. We stood there for about 5-10 minutes just talking, and Jasmine and I'm sitting explaining who Fu was to Jasmine after this. He ended up having to get photographs and all out of him. But oh my God, Davey, what a player and what a guy. He topped off.
I think that's a fantastic place to end. I think when we see the isolation, you're on Facebook at the minute, and you look through the stuff that's going on, a lot of old football friends reaching out and hockey friends reaching out. It's the friendships that we've made along the way that'll last longer than the hockey memories. So, Simon, thanks for your time. That, as I say, that half an hour has gone to 90 minutes, and it's been a lot of fun listening to you. So thanks for being our very first one-on-one.
Cheers, Davey. I've enjoyed it. A wee bit different than Paddy Smith putting hard questions to you. Yours were easy.
Speak to you later, mate.